Yes, a very good afternoon, good evening rather, and welcome to the Business and Economic segment. This is Lecture Hall 1 with me, Kaveve Dhemburuka.
And David Shombe. Yes, welcome to Business and Economic segment. This is a platform where we talk about economic matters, we talk about business development. It's a platform also where we link those who understand economics and also those who are willing to understand. And we look at also, you know, national policies on economic development. We look at issues of governance. We look at issues of academic development. And yeah, anything which is related to the development of the country. But you know, Kave, today we have a special guest in the studio, and we are going to talk about, you know, academic matters. And we are going to introduce him, and we are going to create that platform to engage. Yeah, before we introduce our guest in the studio, it's always very important to understand that in every conversation that we are going to have, we are going to give opportunity to our callers to engage us in the studio, to give their contributions, and also to give their views, especially on topics which are discussed. And as we have been always talking about, you know, education, Kave, we are at the beginning of the year. Everyone is looking for schools. Everyone is looking to upgrade his or her grades. Everyone is also looking at the future. It's also the time where people are planning ahead. However, we have a special guest in the studio. We have Mr. Christopher Oliver is coming from Tucson, and he's a coordinator of, you know, Project 2.0 or 2.0 Project. And we are going to hear more about that. Mr. Christopher, good afternoon and welcome to Lecture Hall 1.
Well, good evening. Thank you for having me.
doing very well. Yes, maybe we can start with it. How is Tucson doing, and what is this thing called Project 2.0, and how can we get, you know, how can we engage that platform?
Right. So let me start off by just mentioning, obviously, the Tucson as an institution.
Yes.
I think the context of the Tucson 2.0 is to understand it. We also have to understand where Tucson, the role Tucson played in Namibian education.
Indeed.
Yeah, and Tucson this year 47 years old.
Oh,
47 years old. One of the older educational institutions in Namibia.
Okay.
So, I mean, historically, Tucson was founded by an anthropologist, and who actually wanted to do a lot of, as a research center, they actually wanted to do a lot of work with the Sand people, and later on. Try to offer opportunities for obviously non-white people during apartheid. That's why they offered scholarship programs way before independence, even for a lot of non-white people to go abroad and study abroad.
Okay,
that's why a lot of you know, our leaders today are Tucson beneficiaries, you know. And we've got in the field of medicine, in government offices, in big business offices within the country and outside of the country, all beneficiaries of Tucson. So we've got a very, very long history of benefiting Namibian people with education.
It's quite a good reputation, Kave.
Indeed.
Yeah, if you cut all the sectors and you've been in existence for over 30 years, it means a lot. Yeah, it means a lot. Yeah, maybe let's engage into the project that you are currently planning to run, or you are already running on. Let us engage on that.
Okay.
Meta.
Yeah. Yes. So, Tucson 2.0. So, historically, the Tucson, first of all, is a welfare organization. It's not a for-profit business. It's a non-profit welfare organization. And historically, we obviously try to benefit people that didn't have opportunity. Right. So currently, previously we had a social political infrastructure that was a barrier to opportunity, and now I think it's more social economic. You know, so Tucson 2.0 is looking at that sort of historical vision and motive of Tucson and bring it into the future in terms of how do we look at the problems that we have in education now and how do we benefit that. So there's many aspects to it. So this is a project that's been in the making for a while, and what we've sort of been trying to do is bring it all together in this year, in 2025, as the Tucson 2.0 sort of rebrand. right? So we're taking the historical motivation and vision of Tucson and just, you know, re-envisioning it in, you know, in a modern society with new issues that students, young people deal with, and also with, you know, a system, a school system that's also changed now. Mm-hmm. So what are the new challenges that that learners have, and how can we sort of help with that?
Yeah, maybe while we are there, before I give to Kaveh to engage on that, because you mentioned something very interesting about looking at rebranding and also looking at the problems that we have in education. Maybe can you just a little bit dive into that?
Okay, well, obviously there's the new curriculum. I wouldn't want to, I mean, it's only really, I think it's how long that it's been around now. I think it was 2017 or that it first came in. So it's been, it's not even really a decade yet.
Yeah.
I think we are starting to see sort of what's happening. I don't know if it's great 100%, but I don't want to badmouth anything or anyone. But there have been sort of, I suppose, adjustment issues. You have to understand that education on an institutional level also develops habits over the years, you know, and I think, you know, even current education still carries the legacy of apartheid education ways, you know, and so we are trying to adapt to, you know, education in the country, but unfortunately it's not very easy because you've got institutions that develop learning habits, you know, ideological habits, and then struggle to adapt you know, to a new vision and idea. And then obviously with that, you have issues, right? So what's currently the problem is, I think, the curriculum and people understanding how it works. That is, you know, keep putting us in a position where, you know, we need a lot of Namibians that to help a lot of Namibians in order to be able to get the marks that they want, to be able to study what they want. And more than that, actually, to broaden their ideas,
yeah,
broaden their perspective of what they want to do with their lives. And that's actually where Tucson 2.0 comes in.
Mm. I see.
Yes. So Tucson, previously, we just did upgrading stuff. You just come in, you get your classes. Granted, our success was based on the quality of teachers that we used to have.
Yeah.
We had really good teachers, so we ended up getting really good results year after year.
Yeah.
But now it's not as a simple formula as that.
Yeah.
Now we realize that what it requires to teach a student means giving them vision as well, you know, helping them not just on an academic level, but also on an interpersonal level, on a level where they can understand the world that we are in right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know what's happening with technology and so on. So like we want to be able to give them perspective in terms of how to or give them vision. You know, give them, have them see what the world is like, and then have them make decisions, and hopefully, or even motivate themselves to be able to see, to be able to become protagonists in the future.
You know? Yeah,
indeed. And also, maybe just looking at the upgrading services that Tucson offers, maybe who's eligible for those, or what are the requirements in that sense?
Well, obviously, we don't really have. We want to, you know, also have good students, or like we want to be able to, because there's a limited space available, right? So we want to be able to provide, you know, look for the candidates that really need the help. But more than that, I think if you're not allowed, if I think of the only real regulation is that you're not allowed to, if you've done grade 10 for the first time, to start at Tucson, because Tucson is a part-time institution. It's not a full-time institution. Oh. It's not like a high school. So you can't leave grade 12 and then start Tucson grade 11. So it's, if we're only part-time, that means that if you want to improve on results, you can come to us to improve. Yeah.
Okay. And maybe just what sets Tucson apart from all the other institutions that also do upgrading or offer the same services? What do you think really, you know, makes you stand out?
Yes, I think since we're talking on an economics podcast, you know, that's been one of our challenges now. Historically, Tucson was one of very few institutions that did what we did.
Yeah.
And nowadays, there's a lot of guys that have come up because, I think, unfortunately, because of the demand for what we're doing.
Yeah.
But we've also seen a lot of people come in this year that have previously been at some of these other people, you know, and then decided, okay, no, but let's go to the people with reputation. You know?
Yeah.
And I think our reputation comes from the quality of teaching that we've done over the years and the quality of results that we've achieved over the years. So that is really what sets us apart. And well, obviously, I think this 2.0 program, which includes the Dr. Sanlovsky certificate or award that I want to talk about a bit later, that is what really sets us apart for, I think, what's going to set us apart going forward as well.
Yeah, indeed. Mm. And you also mentioned something very important when you talked about, preparing the students for the job market and just ensuring that your students are really, you know, truly ready to step into that. And the other day, David and I were actually having the same conversation that, you know, we see many a times people come from institutions where they are not really prepared or groomed into the way that they can just, you know, step into the workforce and make an impact. So really, maybe just to place emphasis on that again, really, maybe to the students out there or to anybody who could be listening right now, really, what's the importance of career guidance?
Right, 100%. So this is one of the five pillars that I want to mention in the awards is career guidance. And I think I myself have been a teacher for more than 12 years now already. And I think in schools, I think the private schools that I've worked at, they often put a lot of emphasis on that because they sort of see it. But unfortunately, in the government schools that I've worked in, you don't really see it. It's much more of a non-curricular activity, or like as if a student is really interested, if they have the real initiative, then they will, you know, take the opportunities to look at career guidance. Mm. But unfortunately, I think particularly at the government schools, I feel like there's a lot of disillusionment between students, even, you know, at that level. Then if they're not motivated to do something, or if they can't see themselves in a position, or if they have such a low self-esteem or self-value, then they'll say, I'll never be able to do that thing because I'm not clever enough, or I don't have the resources, it's too expensive to do it, whatnot. So I think career guidance is important in terms of being able to bridge that psychological gap, you know, for a lot of people. I think I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, our chairman, when we were discussing this whole thing, mentioned that when he was in high school, he's now a doctor, you know, and like he said he never thought he could be a doctor. Yeah. If it wasn't for the career guidance that he took in his matric year, then, you know, he would have never made that decision. So I think it's a crucial aspect, or one of the crucial pillars that we're bringing into our program this year. We want to put a real focus on career guidance because it provides perspective. It provides vision, which in turn creates motivation. Mm. And that is what helps learners at the end of the day get their good results, you know.
Yeah, no, you know, that is very interesting, especially when you talk about self-esteem and motivation, because a lot of students, they really have intellectuals, but they are not able really to go out there and see, I'm going to grab this one. Yeah, maybe Mr. Christoph, maybe the question, there is a caller online. Maybe you can take the caller. Hello?
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Good evening, David Pave and Mr. Christoph.
Yes, yes.
Yes, good evening, sir.
Good evening, good evening.
All of you and Madame were included.
Yes.
Already.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for affording me opportunity. I won't be so long.
Yes.
Because I will try by all means to combine what is happening now, what you are discussing, the topic now, the conversation, with the one where we were, the one that you follow, Helmut and Dwight.
Yeah,
so they were at the same time talking about economic activity.
Maybe you can engage our guest, because this is
because my children, my own children, are products of taxing.
Mm. Okay, where are they now?
Oh, they are working. They are graduated.
Oh,
these are open.
Okay, that's good.
You understand?
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Mr. Christoph, for coming to revive the vision.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
And that vision can be promoted. Nobody can deny it. I don't even, you know, I'm not trying to market it, because if you're saying now, because of the resources and teachers are not there, it's even good, because it's structured in that kind of continuous learning.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So, because it's part-time, you understand? So now, those people who are in the labor market, the young ones and who want to study at the same time to do that, like I said, my own product, my own children went through that.
Yes.
And they're managing those things.
Yeah,
I'm not the one who, you see, who always say political connectedness. I didn't apply for any job for them.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So, Mr. Christoph, thank you very much for saying that, yes, you need to revive those things. I was following from the beginning, just because me, I write.
Yes. Thank you very much.
So,
yes.
But there are also, even in a government school, there have been groups of students like Staff for Life, My Choice, My What, and all these other things.
Yes, yes, yes.
And if, for example, like you are saying, you are known, I know.
Yes.
And I've forgotten about you, actually.
That's true.
I don't know why. Maybe it's because you have never talked about even these things since all these years.
Yes. No, it's because we've been relying on word of mouth for the past few years. This is part of the new project.
You always see those children coming from there with their t-shirts, written taxi. I always meet them sometimes. There are a few. I see them myself because they are very close to me. I see them all of the time. But I'm saying that in terms of your program, how you have equipped, how you have graduated and empowered. Because your good thing is that my children used to go there, I used to attend the meeting, my friend, in terms of social economic development of a child, not despite the subject that the person is improving in.
Yes.
You understand? So we are talking about the labor market. You are preparing them, and from there, they always find their way.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
So now, I haven't finished.
Okay.
I'm taking more than 3 minutes already.
You're already at 5 minutes.
last one, Mr. Christoph. What is hindering you for you to collaborate with the government? The private sectors, the private schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I'm speaking, I think there are four established in Ongwedula area.
Okay.
And they have good programs there.
Uh-huh.
There are existing structure, whether it's facilities or whatever. NAMCO, we used to even teach, me and myself, I used to attend adult classes, adult education classes in the church and in the schools. You understand?
Yes.
So if you have to get the quality of the teacher because they are there, because they are no longer there. If they are there, they could have made this institution known as now of now.
Yes.
So don't tell me about the resources, financial or whatever. Create a memorandum in conversation with the ministry.
Yes. You see,
in many other sectors. So please let me listen and feel like that. But I appreciate Mr. Christoph for your bravery and courage. They say you want to revive historically.
Yes.
Mm.
You want to make sure that, imagine 47 years old.
Mm. Yeah.
Even myself, I don't even know the history, but maybe my children know. Thank you very much, Kaveh, for this question. Let me just listen for Munsi, but I'll definitely come back.
Okay.
Because we will deprive information, the knowledge. You see, the problem is that, sorry, 40 seconds. We deprived our people from information.
Yeah.
Just look at the program that was there now, talking about the energy. They even attended some events of Japanese and to electrify the rural area. Your student cannot be at my village if there's no electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? But there are qualified teachers, professors there.
Yeah.
Even in the church.
Yeah.
Maybe the church has got electricity. So please, let's be serious.
Yeah.
So you create write a memorandum of understanding with the ministry, whether they refuse or not.
Indeed.
They see where you are struggling.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your contribution.
Yeah, you heard it yourself.
Yeah. we do sort of participate with the government. I think in matters in terms of conferences and meetings, and we often meet with senior officials and, you know, talk education policy and so on. Mm-hmm. But this is quite interesting. I was part of a conference in 2017, 2016, and then I was invited to UNESCO to talk about policy after that. At that stage, I was talking about blended learning,
mm-hmm.
which is also one of the things that we're going to bring in.
Okay.
But At that time, I was talking about blended learning, and then I was invited, I think, to UNESCO to talk about education policy. But at that stage, I had only been working in private sector in education.
Okay.
And that's what actually inspired me to go to the government sector and actually work on the ground and see what are the issues that they have there. And I think really on a day-to-day level between staff, and I don't see much difference between I think people underestimate the quality actually that we do have of teachers, even at government level.
Yeah.
I think, but unfortunately, the government schools are bureaucratic, which bureaucracies are innately bureaucratic, and I think that one size fits all mentality often comes at a cost where certain students with very specific set of problems aren't really being looked at because we're trying to impose this one size fits all policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think what the problem is really on the ground. Mm-hmm. And if you have leadership and principals and HODs on the ground that are really doing the thing and who are following in the vision of the school.
Yeah.
And some of the schools that I went to, they have like the vision, what they want to do in the thing. But if you go and ask the principal or anyone, mm-hmm. nobody can tell you what the vision of the school is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a mentality, an ideology that's ingrained. And I think we can say what we want about Robert Mugabe, for example.
Yeah.
But Robert Mugabe, one of his successes was his education system.
Yeah, indeed.
And the way that he did it was through vision, through instilling vision in, and that ended up coming down into his students. All of those students inherited that vision of Robert Mugabe because that's what he tried to do. So I think education on institutional level is actually an institutional issue. It really depends on the leadership within that school and whether they want to have the vision to be able to help their students, provide that vision to their students as well. I don't think pointing the finger at the government is, because they are just a bureaucracy. They are just there to put one size all fits all policies in place. Mm-hmm.
Oh, very interesting. Maybe you can expand more on 2.0 project also.
Okay.
Because the other question which I have is also this one, because you have quite a reputation. One thing I did not say is also that one of my cousins is a teacher now, was also a Tuscan. I just remember it now.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's fine. Look, how do you deal with, we have different level of I don't want to say intellectual. How do you deal with people who find it very difficult to learn very fast?
Okay, so now you're bringing blended learning in, which I just mentioned now.
Blended
learning is, it's actually more than, I think people, and you sort of hear this word being used quite a lot by people who mix technology into their education.
Yeah.
And they make it seem as though it's a methodology issue, really. But it's not really. You know, it's more looking at philosophy. It's more looking at developing non-cognitive skills. That's also part of what we're bringing in. And the whole idea behind it is developing, like I say, soft interpersonal skills, which then manifest in the results. So for example, if you have a student that is really bad at maths or is struggling with maths or has maybe is not working so fast, what we will do with our blended learning and what we are trying to do is to try and bring in systems where they can actually, using technology, that they can actually pace themselves with their learning, right? So unfortunately, the way that it is with the curriculum and so on, we have to have like a time frame. We have a scheme of work that we have to work by, but we want to be able to have supporting material that helps kids to learn in their own, at their own pace.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like I mentioned, that was also why we want to bring some of the other pillars in. You know, like part of this award system, just to touch on it.
So that I can
set the whole thing up the award program, because it's something that I think that we really want to focus on and take pride in, like that we're going to do. I mentioned the first part, which was career guidance. That's the one pillar. So our learners, in order to receive the award at the end of the year, they're going to have to do a certain criteria of career guidance, whether it's listening to talks or actually going on job shadowing or going on field trips or something like that, they have to do a certain criteria in that. And then academic excellence is probably the more important
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
But in terms of that, we're going to do workshops on learning to learn. So how do you cognitively learn better? How does your brain work? So what are the study methods and tricks that you can do study wise to improve how your brain takes in information, right?
Yeah.
So it's actually like almost like a scientific way of learning, you know.
Yeah.
So they have to go through workshops in that. We want to bring in community service because, and that community service is the third pillar, because we feel that a student is more than his academic abilities. A student is also about the character that he is, and I think through community service, students develop character and also perspective. Because perspective is a very important thing in education.
Yeah.
And then fourth, we want to do what we call future skills, which is maybe more related to the job market and the economics, because we see that a lot of schools are not really offering opportunities to provide very accessible skills at an education. So we want to try and bring in those future, what we call future skills, that we do have access to on the internet if you know where to look.
Yeah.
And we want to be able to facilitate that. And then last of all, we have adventure. So we are organizing special hiking trips and camping trips and team building exercises because we feel like that
going like Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So adventures are fifth. You know what I like to say is the adventure is the habit of is the skill of making memories, you know? So that's what we want to do. We want to show people how important it is to go out and explore and, you know, make memories and to challenge yourself and develop as a character. So like I said, Tuxin, with what the whole 2.0 project is about taking it just from, academic upgrading, but more onto upgrading the individual. Because if you go in, I think if you listen to this NVIDIA CEO, I don't know, he had the big CES talk about artificial intelligence the other day and what that is. But he, I listened to something about what he said now. Okay.
Yeah.
What he said now is, and recently, and he talked about like the people that he hires.
Yeah.
And he hires not necessarily people that come from the best universities or whatnot.
Yeah.
He hires people with character that have specific character. So that's also what we're trying to develop.
Yeah, maybe just to sum up, maybe to a student who is there, want to advance their studies. There are also those who are stuck. There are also those who think education is just not for me. And there are also those who tried different institutions, really, but they were not given that vision that you have said, that motivation that you have said, that career to push, at least to make sure that their self-esteem is advanced. Maybe what is your last message to anybody who is there, want to advance, and they're stuck then?
What I would say is, if I could, I think we could have an interview until tomorrow morning if I was to mention all of the students that have come through Tuxin and tell you their stories. But we
still have 5 minutes.
My point being, if it's part of what makes me so grateful for the job that I have, is because I think, you know, particularly this time of the year when parents come and collect results, and the parents come and they scream and they're so excited.
Yeah.
We had one boy. I'll mention his name. Lincoln. Lincoln went from, I think, an X and a U and a C to three A's. At AS level.
Okay.
I mean, and you know, the thing is, imagine, and I was just thinking, imagine his opportunities with those that U and the X and the C to what he has now. That goes on your CV for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life, he's seen as an academic, whether it's at university, at work, or whatever.
Yeah.
So that is really the year, it's just a year. And I'll promise anyone, any student, a year feels like a long time now at this stage, but it's not.
Yeah,
I think we as older people, we realize a year is nothing, you know. And I think I would say it's just a year. What the effect that we have and that that this year has lays the foundation for your future. And I think it's a very important thing to make. And if you're disillusioned with education, just also understand that it's not just your fault. Sometimes there are environmental aspects, environmental factors, sometimes even issues at school that make you feel as though you're not a learner or that learning is not your thing. That's not the truth.
Yeah.
I will tell you from experience, I've worked with students that didn't have any belief in themselves at all, and then have come out after a year, and they've just saw almost like, I should say, like a butterfly coming out of a cocoon. They become new people.
Yeah.
Just because of realizing what they're actually capable of. Yeah.
No, that's interesting. There's a caller for you on the line. Welcome to Lecture Hall 1.
Sorry, Christopher. So those programs, they can be fully sponsored. Even myself. Okay.
Yes, okay.
I don't know when you are going to come again, because sometimes you have to attend classes, because if I miss the class, you punish me. So now I have to attend the Helmut and Dwight classes, talking about how to develop the character of the person, of the student.
Yes.
How to give the vision so that tomorrow your child doesn't come to you and trouble you for a job. So now, and when they go, they will talk. It's good that you say you are going into community development. I think I just mentioned that, yes.
Yes.
My children, for them, because they don't even go to the village, rural area, because my child, you know, this one, they can't go to the rural area. I can go to the rural area and develop there.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that taxing is there.
Yeah. Yeah.
At any church. Or anywhere at the school. Just like the way we used to do Namcol and all these other things. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much. So when are you coming again, Mr. David and Kavena? When are you going to bring him back?
No, he must answer himself. He must come back. Even tomorrow he must come back.
Yeah, because we need to know. Tomorrow if I go and run and jog, now I don't know whether he's coming or not. I have to stay here for the whole 4 or 5 days.
Well, maybe you should just stay tuned and listen to when I'm coming back.
I'll
listen. I'm going to listen now. Please, you tell us when are you likely to come back here.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Good. I appreciate it.
Answer the question. When are you coming back? Who wants you to come back?
To come here was a bit of an email to and fro. Maybe we can kick that off again tomorrow sometime. We'll see. We'll make it.
Always make a plan. Want to use this opportunity to say thank you very much, Mr. Christopher, for your time, and thank you for the insightful, conversation that you have, and continue, upgrading the education system of Namibia. As you have said, that you guys have almost 47 years, and you've been into existence even before independence, which is very interesting, although. Yeah, and you have heard yourself. Records is there. You are doing very well. Mm. Must continue doing it. And must come back again.
I'd love
the human element of it, of like, investing into the student, making sure that they're building them up.
Yeah.
I love that part.
Yeah.
So thank more
you.
Of it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Ouli mnangeshefa no wahara kushivifa oma kuroe kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enyamukulo olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konorahita tu natu, mbali oheta tu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge dumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mwane oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
Yes, we are still here in studio. This is the Business and Economic Segment Lecture Hall 1.
Yeah.
With Kaveh and David, we are talking about, you know, career guidance. And, you know, it's back to school season. So everybody's running around trying to, you know, trying to secure their schools and trying to see what they're going to do for the year. So it's a vital time to, you know, to have these conversations and, of course, to discuss really what lies ahead.
Yeah.
You can, of course, engage us here in studio by calling in on 083.
The caller is already
here. Oh, it's already here. Yeah. Right? Yes, good evening.
Oh, no, it's gone. Okay, now.
Yeah, you can just call us back on 083-288-401. That is 083-288-401.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, David, one of the things that Christopher actually said that stood out to me, of course, has to be the whole aspect of how they, you know, they try to look at the student.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, trying to understand the student's personality and trying to match them with their potential career that you're going to have one day. And I think that's something that you and I have been talking about
it's true.
For a few days now. Yeah. You know, the sense of that, you know, you go to school, you're doing all these subjects, you're doing all these courses that you clearly have no interest in, but then you know that there are requirements that you have to do.
Yeah.
But then really, why don't we focus on, you know, polishing the skills that you are good at and making sure that you are ready for the workforce, you are ready for the type of career that you're going to have one day. And if we have more institutions like this, you know, where they can, you know, push you as an individual to say, okay, you want to go into engineering, this is what you'll need. Mm. These are the qualities that you'll need. This is the type of person that you have to be. These are the communications that you need.
Yeah.
If we're gonna invest into that, I feel like
we are going far. Because you know, Kaveh, you know what is very, I don't want to say very funny. You know what is very interesting about most of the parents, they don't care if the kid have passion or the kid is looking for something in the future, as long as you bring them all the A's at home.
Mm-mm.
But you realize that education is not only about getting results academically. Education is also about developing characters, mm-mm, like what you have said.
Yeah,
developing character of a person, developing a vision, which is very interesting to see. Because sometimes I can be doing very well at school, but I don't know where I'm going.
Mm.
I don't have a vision.
Mm-mm.
I'm just passing very well in physics, but I don't even know what I want.
Yeah.
But these guys, they go beyond academic excellence.
Mm.
Yeah, that's why maybe when they were talking about their project, you also realize that apart from now awarding you on academic excellence, which is very interesting, there are also other things that I want you to do.
Mm.
And that is how education was supposed to be.
Yeah, indeed.
And then the other thing is also about, you know, future skills.
Yeah.
When you talk about future skills, you are talking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You are looking ahead. And those are the people that we really need in the future. Because if you only think about what you're going to eat at the end of the month, then you are not futuristic.
Mm-mm.
People have, you don't have a futuristic approach to life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And education, which understand that we don't have same intellectual capacity, is also education which can also assist even new parents,
mm-mm,
to understand that their kids are not the same.
Mm.
Because otherwise, if you really don't understand the aspect of human psychology, it's very difficult for you to be a good parent.
Mm.
Yeah, because people have different level of understanding. People have different level also of, intellectual capacity. Maybe a person just artistic.
Mm.
A person just artistic. Then you are forcing a person to go this way.
Yeah.
Maybe a person is just, he's very good with language, or he's very good with science, but you are forcing him this way because the way you look at the world, it's only how you want it to be seen. But that's not how things are.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
And he also mentioned a very key aspect of job shadowing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is a very important tool when it comes to career guidance, because for me to truly, you know, understand how to be a teacher, I have to, you know, eventually sit there and truly understand how this person does their job and see if it's really something that I want to venture into.
Yeah.
Because sometimes also it can be a thing of like, I've wanted to be a teacher my whole life.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because somebody, you know, put that idea into my mind. But then once I get the time to actually sit there and see how a person is teaching, how they're doing their job, and I can realize that, oh, this is not for me.
Yeah,
or I can realize that this is indeed for me. So I feel like job shadowing in that sense is very important, because you get a chance to really experience the job.
Yeah.
To see it for yourself and to truly, you know, see the weaknesses, see the strength, and see what you can offer and truly learn in that capacity.
Yeah, you know, job shadowing is career guidance, and also understand things before you get there.
Mm-mm.
It's more easier than getting into things because people are saying do them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why when this thing must be applied by all education institutions in Namibia.
Mm-mm.
Even, you know, it can be a public school, private school, you must make sure that you are not just teaching kids to get marks.
Yeah.
And that is a problem.
Mm.
You are not just teaching kids, then you are ranking them based on their marks. Mm. You must motivate them also.
Yeah.
You must motivate them because people are coming from different backgrounds. Some people did not have motivation in their lives. Some people, they were never taught. Kave, the certain Kave who was never taught, Kave, you are the best at what you are doing.
Never.
But you are just lacking that little motivation.
Yeah.
But the moment a tutor or a teacher just tell you that, no, I know you are not doing very well at school, but if you do this way, you can be the best.
Yeah.
Just that little motivation.
Yeah.
And they say it's a self-esteem. Mm. Everyone can... you can be 80 years old and you still have a lower self-esteem.
Mm.
But you need somebody to motivate you.
Yeah.
Apart from now teaching you, this is your energy boost.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's your energy boost. To have that kind of confidence that you can say, no, yes, I can do it.
Mm.
Yeah, I can do it. And this is education system. And when you look at... If they are talking about futuristic skills, it's easier to learn beyond classes.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are learning something and you know there are skills which are going to be needed in the future, I think they are in the process of having a World Economic Forum annual meeting this month.
Mm.
But they always come up with what is needed in the next 5 years.
Yeah,
yeah, they look at what the world need. Which skills are most likely to lose out, which skills to advance, and which is easy. Because when somebody say, I'm going to train you how to look at the future, I'm not only going to train you how to look well in the next 3 months, I'm going to train you how in the next 2 years, this is where you are going to be.
Mm.
That's why if a discussion is about the future, I want to be there. I don't want the discussion about Friday. I don't want that.
Yeah,
I don't want that. If it's about, okay, it's about developing something for the future, that is a very good discussion.
Mm.
If the discussion is about just want to pass first semester, it's not a good discussion.
Yeah.
Discussion must be about you being strong, you being advanced. Yeah, that's why the aspect of job shadowing, me, I did not know that terms until maybe I was already at university.
Mm.
Because it's a fancy term.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's few people who understand that. Because let's go to a commercial break, then we can come.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low. Because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Olium Nangeshifa, Noahara Kushivifa Oma Kuroe Kupitira Mohorike Radio Station Oyo Eagle FM. Enyamukuro Olongaha. Ninge kwatafano na Monica Koshikondo Shipindi kon Norahita Twimwe, Heari Imwe, Ne Heari, Imwe Imwe Nohamano. That is 081-7147-116. Momberewa konoraheta tu natu, bali o heta tu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge dumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, welcome back. We are still discussing, career guidance, job shadowing, all the few things that we are going through right now. It's the beginning of the year and it's back to school season.
Yeah.
You can engage us on this topic by calling us in studio at 083-288-401. That is 083-288-401.
Yeah. And the one thing I've seen, there is nothing which can beat the right information at the right time.
Mm.
Yeah, if you get the right information at the right time, it's easier for you to align what you want with what you have on the table. Because when we are at the beginning of the year, this is a year where parents are planning about the future of their kids. Kids are planning about their own future also.
Mm.
And this is how also you plan and strategize about how should I navigate my future.
Yeah.
Yeah, what should I do and what do I need? And this is also the time where you have to say, what should I do that I can do best than comparing myself with others?
Mm.
Yeah, because what Mr. Christopher mentioned is very interesting also, because there is an aspect of comparing, comparing other people with their age mate.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You know, Kaveh, if I was good at karate, and I have a very good karate master, no matter how many times you are disencouraging me, I will not go to university.
Yeah.
I want to earn a black belt. Maybe I'll earn a black belt one day. Because if that is what I want, why should you stop me? Because you are stopping a person to achieve what he or she can do best.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Because we can be from this, we can even be twins, but we don't have same interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is a very important thing about education and so about human beings. And the other aspect that what Mr. Christopher have mentioned is the other aspect of developing your learning skills.
Mm.
Because most of these things, we did not know them until you are at a high institution of learning. You don't know that which brain, how are you programmed?
Mm.
Because I was so shocked, not really to say I was shocked, I was surprised. I was interviewed one of the top 20 students, Stuapewa Neumbo. No, she said, no, I understand that I'm a visual learner. She understands that her brain is operating this way.
Yeah.
And imagine a lady studying this, a student studying this, I understand that I'm a visual learner.
Mm.
Then I realize that for me to pass very well, I have to make sure that I play with my brain to make sure that I buy color, you know, I color code my nose and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Then I say, wow. So people, some of us, we go through school, we don't even know you are left brain or right brain. You just
so true.
We don't even know if you are a visual learner. You don't understand how the brain is operating.
Yeah.
But what Mr. Christopher is saying is, you know, we have different ways of teaching people, you know, cognitive learning, what abilities.
Mm-hmm.
To say, no, if you are good with this, with numbers, this is how you do.
Mm.
If you are a visual learner or what, then I say, so I wanted to ask, who told you that?
Yeah.
But I realized that the generation after us is always better than us.
Gen Z.
Yeah. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's crazy to think, because I don't even think I've ever had to sit down and think what kind of a learner I am.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting because I think to the students out there, I think this is the best time of the year right now, at the very beginning, you know, to find out the kind of learner that you are and what works best for you if you want to have those accurate results.
Even what kind of brain you have.
Yeah.
What kind of brain you have.
How it works, how it functions.
Yeah, is it an artistic brain? Is it a brain which can do well with mathematics?
Yeah.
Is it a visual kind of
Some
brain?
Some people are good with music. If they're listening to music, then
Some people are good with music, Some people, they don't study in class. Some people, they just go there and learn. Some people, they don't write. Some people, they write.
Yeah, some have
understand
to
yourself.
as you read.
Then I was asking myself, so I had a lot of questions in my mind, but I could not ask the lady. So she was telling me that, no, I understand first that I'm a visual learner.
Mm.
And I also need to make sure that I trigger my brain to understand this way.
Yeah.
And one thing I also learned is that she understood, or maybe with other top performers also.
Mm-mm.
I don't think they have best brain than anyone else.
Yeah.
These guys, they understand themselves.
Yeah.
And they have a strategy.
Mm.
Because they say, no, I understand that I also get stressed because everyone gets stressed. But sometimes I can take a walk, I can relax, take a deep breath. Can you tell somebody who is not organized, take a deep breath? Examination is tomorrow. I don't know. It won't happen.
Yeah.
It won't happen.
But I think that actually also ties in with what Christopher was saying about, you know, how they accommodate their students in the sense that they take them hiking or they take them on this, you know, just a few leisure activities just to relax the brain. Because as much as you want to sit down and you want to cram your notes in, eventually you're going to need that breather. But then it comes now to how do you really, you know, position yourself so that you're not breathing too much, but you're also not, you know, overdoing it.
Yeah.
Because you have to find that balance, because your brain cannot just also be reading and reading on the go like that.
Yeah.
You need time to also, you know, soothe down and take everything in.
Just calm down.
Yeah.
And looking at somebody who is a top performer, leaving her notes or leaving his notes, knowing exactly that other kids are studying, but knowing that the brain needs to rest, it requires a certain level of discipline.
Yeah.
It requires a certain level of discipline and keeping yourself away from a lot of things also.
Mm.
Because a top performer is not just gifted.
Mm-mm.
It's gifted, discipline, and support.
Mm.
All those things together. Yeah, because everyone can do it.
Yeah.
Everyone can do it. Everyone can really do it. It's only that when you go and study these people, then you realize to say, no, first, even if they have... They don't have good support. Maybe they have strong self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in themselves.
Yeah.
And they know how to play with their brain.
Yeah.
So somebody is sleeping for for 6 hours, knowing exactly that this is their final examination, which is going to define their future.
Yeah.
And to them, it was effortless. And I was so surprised.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's surprising really because I feel like it also goes back to an environment thing, because for some people, you know, education is your only way out of poverty.
So
you have to grind on that and you have to push on that. Whereas to other people, not to say it comes easy to them, because maybe they have the support, they have, you know, families that are well off.
Yeah.
So for some people, it might not be, you know, seen as something that they have to push on that hard or whatever it may be.
But,
you know, I feel like you have to evaluate yourself and you have to see your environment.
Yeah.
You have to understand your background, where you are coming from and where you want to go. Because that's the only way that you can truly position yourself to attain the best results. If you understand, like, I'm in this situation, and for me to change the situation, I have to invest in this.
Yeah.
Once you get there also, I feel like you'll be on a good way.
Yeah. And don't color code your nose if you're not a visual learner.
That's for visual learner. Confuse you.
Yeah, you end up confusing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, let's go for a commercial break. Then we can come back.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my catatura, man.
Yes, good afternoon, good evening.
So, no, because nobody's calling. So now, and this is a public lecture. Lecture what?
Lecture hall one.
Lecture hall
one.
You're a good student.
Yeah? In that lecture one, room one is the big one. Eh?
Yeah.
Where we used to stay somewhere at the back, and it's like you are sliding.
Yeah, it's first year, all the first years. Lecture hall one.
So now, you guys, so honestly speaking, me sometimes I thank God for general length that the general length.
Okay.
So because now he's now making sure that this radio, of course I understand this, the talk radio.
Yeah.
The talk radio, people don't just talk like for the mayor. I mean, talk. What is it? How do you call it? For the sake of talking.
Yeah.
No. They talk with a purpose.
Yeah.
Mm.
So they talk with a purpose. If nobody's calling, so since you are saying you are going away, so we are going to find you again so that we can help ourselves to rediscover our because this one, it's not the kind of education that you get from the University of Namibia or wherever.
Mm.
It's a bit different. Like I told you, it's part-time. And the priest formation is part-time.
Yeah.
You combine your social life, your economic life, your political, whatever life, and you find your purpose in life.
Mm.
So these guys, they were talking about electrification, the rural migration. Since they started, nobody, I didn't even hear a youth calling. Mm-hmm. Then they just went. Now, when those guys are developed by Christopher now, giving a purpose, because they are, sometimes they don't go to the rural area because those companies, they grab them.
Mm.
But I'm saying that let's take the opportunity, economic opportunity to the rural area where they are, and then they can liaise with those, the churches or government schools or whatever. And I really want to make sure that when I go to the villages there, evaluation. Kavena, you are talking about evaluation and all this monitoring and things like that. Thank you very much. God bless you, mate. We'll see you again tomorrow. Mate.
All right. See you tomorrow. Yes, we have around 3-4 minutes. 4 minutes before we come to the end of the lecture hall one. We are talking about economic development, especially in line with education of our students. We are talking about preparing young people for a better life, especially in terms of career guidance, in terms of advising, in terms of also understanding themselves, especially who they are, what are their interests, and what capacity do they have, what can they do with their brain, because not all of us are the same.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important for us to understand the capacity that we have or what we have to do, because this is also a very crucial time for students, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going through a lot of things, you know. There's a lot of pressure on them to find the right schools, the right, you know, courses.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, they didn't make the qualifying marks for universities. You know, people are, there's a lot of emotions, you know, going around the system.
Yeah.
So this is a very crucial time for, because I feel like if students were conditioned in a way to say that, as long as you know what your vision is in life, or as long as you know what your vision is, the type of career that you want to achieve at the end of the day.
Yeah.
If they were conditioned in a way to say that you just keep chasing that dream no matter what, I feel like we wouldn't have the problems that we have now in today's society where we have, you know, kids are facing depression, kids committing suicide.
Yeah.
Like some of those things, they can be avoided if we just, you know, change our systems a little bit and change the way that we coach our students or the way that we talk to our students.
Yeah.
I feel like if we truly, you know, reach out to them and make them understand themselves, first of all, and where they are headed in life, I feel like if we intervene early on, we can avoid a lot of things, honestly.
Yeah, and maybe I think I should continue quoting what the best students also.
Mm.
Yeah, the other thing that one of the top performers have said is that you know, we are not on the same journey in life. We have different paths,
mm-mm,
and we don't have the same map.
Yeah,
and that is a very powerful thing to say. If we have different paths in life. If you give me your map, I'll get lost.
Yeah.
Because I have different path.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is what one of the top performers have said. Because Kaveh, if we were made like cars, you have a competition of sport cars, you have golf, you have Benz and what, then you have a Land Cruiser.
Yeah.
Land Cruiser was supposed to go to the farm and do other things.
Mm-mm.
But now it's crying because these guys are overtaking him.
Mm-mm.
But because you're at the wrong, you are not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
But if we take you to say, no, we need something which is four-wheel drive, very powerful,
mm-mm,
then you are going to thrive there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you want somebody who can compete, we need the Volkswagen which is so balanced and they can move very fast.
Mm.
But you can't bring a cruiser fighting with sport cars.
Yeah.
This is a powerful thing.
Yeah.
It's a powerful thing. It needed at the farm. It needed to carry heavy loads and other things. It's a way we were positioned. And I think maybe through information and education, we are going to change these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think parents also and students, when we start understanding that we are not the same, but we have different goals, but everyone wants to succeed, I think life will be very easier.
Yeah.
And fun also.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
And we also have to just recognize the opportunities that are around us, because even though you hate your mindset on the one school and you didn't get in,
you
know, there are various institutions, there are various schools out there that you can apply to, that you can, you know, try to do something else and try something. You don't have to give up just because your one school said no, just because the one lecturer did what. Like, there are so many things that you could do.
Oh, you must always have a game plan, and the game plan does not need to work. Sometimes it's not going to work, but you find a way wherever you're finding yourself. So with these words, I think we are almost at the end of our lecture hall one for today.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe just Kaveh, just in one word or maybe two words. What stood out for you from Mr. Christoph?
I go back to the investment that they put into the student, because I feel like when it comes to education, it should be something that should be personalized.
Yeah.
Everyone should experience it as a personal thing. It shouldn't be a thing of, you know, it fits for everybody's system. You know, I don't believe in it.
Yeah.
I feel like we are all different.
Yeah.
Therefore, if you want me to learn to my fullest capacity, you have to approach me as an individual, not as a class or as a group of people. You have to approach me that, you know, this is how Kaveh learns. This is how I can teach her. This is how I can help her grow.
Yeah.
Because once you invest like that into me, I'll also have the will or the drive to also say, okay, my teachers take me seriously. So let me take myself seriously.
Indeed.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that is it for today. Thank you for listening to Lecture Hall 1. See you again tomorrow, same place, same time. And continue listening to Eagle FM programs. The next program is from Tuma with Tatenaluvanda and Tatefry.